Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I don't have a funny April Fool's joke for you, so I'm just going to tell you a story. I know that once in a while people like to hear the stories of things that happen in the hallways at courthouses, for instance, and that's what I'm talking about today. I do a lot of lemon law. For the last 27 years, I've been suing the car companies over defective cars that they cannot fix, purchased by my clients. And I've gotten to know the attorneys who defend the car companies pretty well. And it's not uncommon there'll be one attorney who gets the account that gets to represent one car maker for a period of time in the state of Michigan. And so obviously, every case I file against that car maker, it's just one attorney. So I get to know the attorneys pretty well. And I'm an easygoing guy, I get along with most people. And so there was a guy who represented one of the big three, it doesn't matter which one, for about 10 or 15 years. And I got to know the guy very, very well because every single case I filed against this one manufacturer is always him. So, you know, like I said, I got to know the guy pretty well. And one of the things I spotted very, very quickly was that every single case of mine that I filed, he'd file a response in court and his brief would always say, "This is a classic case of buyer's remorse. This is a classic case of buyer's remorse." And it didn't matter if my client's car caught on fire or if the transmission fell out of it or the electrical problems meant that you couldn't read the dashboard. It didn't matter. This is a classic case of buyer's remorse. And I used to joke with him and I'd say, "Hey, you know, how could this be a classic case when it's so different from the one last week that you said that was a classic case, which was different from the one the week before that you said that was a classic case?" And he goes, "No, this is buyer's remorse." And buyer's remorse as an idea is the notion that when you're about to buy something, a big ticket item, there's often some excitement that goes into buying a big ticket item. You're closing in your first house, you're buying an expensive car, you're buying an RV, heaven forbid, and you spend all that money, sign the documents, and the moment you realize that you've made this big commitment, sometimes you have this urge to go, "Wait a second, did I just screw up?" And that, if it manifests itself any more than that, can be buyer's remorse, where you're sorry you bought something. But when people come into my office and say, "Steve, you know, I've got a defective car, it's been in the shop 5 times or 10 times, and they show me the paperwork," I look at the paperwork. I don't sit there and try to do a psychoanalysis of my client and go, "I wonder what's really going on inside that noggin of theirs." No, I look at the documents. Documents show the vehicle's in the shop enough times, problem couldn't be fixed, boom, it's a lemon. So I'd file the lawsuit, and we'd be in court on an occasion, and he'd file something with the court saying, "This is a classic case of buyer's remorse." And, you know, he's being efficient. He's recycling his words over and over again. So one day we're in court and we're sitting around. I don't know, the judge hasn't gotten on the bench yet or something. And we're just shooting the breeze. And like I said, you know, I got to know these people pretty well, including him. And out of the blue one day, he goes, "Yeah," he said, "I got the weirdest problem." And I go, "What's that?" And he goes, "I just bought a luxury car." And he told me what the brand of it was. And it was a luxury car. It's a very, very expensive car. And he goes, "It's the weirdest thing though." He goes, "Right after I bought it, I noticed whenever I'm downtown, the radio cuts in and out. The radio cuts in and out." And I'm just talking to the guy first as just like a friend. And I go, "Well, does it do it all the time? Does it do it when you're listening to CDs? Does you know, when does it cut in and out?" And he goes, "That's the weirdest thing." He goes, "It doesn't seem to be tied to anything in particular." I go, "Well, does it happen more downtown than it does like out in the country?" So I'm thinking maybe buildings cause interference or something. And he goes, "A little bit." He goes, "But I think it's happened outside the city too, though. It's not just among the tall buildings." And I said, "Wow, that's an interesting thing." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I brought it back to the dealership 3 times. And I go, "Okay." And he goes, "I'm going to file a lawsuit." And I look at him and I go, "Wait a second. You're going to file a lawsuit?" I go, "For what?" And he goes, "Lemon law." And now you have to understand that Michigan's lemon law says that your vehicle is defective if it has a substantial defect or a defect that substantially impairs the use or value of the vehicle. And if it meets that, it's been repaired enough times, then the vehicle is in fact a lemon and must be bought back by the manufacturer. And the case that he and I were in court on that particular day involved a problem in my client's vehicle that rendered the car undrivable. The car could not be driven, okay? So in other words, my client would experience this problem and have to have the car towed to the dealership because it couldn't be driven. They would then have it for a week or two, monkey around with it, and give it back to my client, and then the problem would happen again. And he said that was a classic case of buyer's remorse. So I said, "Wait a second. You're going to sue this luxury car manufacturer because your radio cuts in and out occasionally? But my client, whose car is rendered undrivable, is a classic case of buyer's remorse. And I said that to him. And he's looking at me, and I'll give the guy credit. The guy would probably make a great poker player. He looked at me and was like, I don't understand your question. And I said, my client's car is undrivable. Your car has a problem where the radio cuts in and out, usually when you're downtown. You think your car has a substantial impairment, but my client's doesn't? And he goes, no, my car costs more. And I said, well, wait a second. Now, I don't have the books with me when we're in court, but he and I are both attorneys. I said, so you're telling me that someplace in the Lemon Law, MCL 257-1401 et sec, you're telling me that someplace in the Lemon Law is a designation that says higher standards for more expensive cars, lower standards for less expensive cars. And again, he looks at me with that poker face and goes, well, it's not in the law, but it's implied. And I said, wait a second. We can now argue implied laws? And he was actually getting like agitated by me asking his questions. And he goes, I don't understand what you're getting at. And I go, the Lemon Law is designed to protect consumers who buy defective cars that cannot be repaired after a reasonable number of repair attempts with a substantial defect. And you're saying that my client's car that cannot be driven is not defective. It's a classic case of buyer's remorse. And your car, which can be driven, and if you didn't listen to the radio, you'd never even notice there's a problem. And the radio cuts in and out when you're downtown Detroit, but doesn't seem to do it much outside the city limits. That is a problem? And he goes, yeah, I still don't get what you're arguing about. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like seriously. And to this day, I don't know if he's pulling my leg. But here's the thing. I saw the car he was driving. And a short time later, I saw the other car he was driving. And the manufacturer of that car bought his car back. And he called. And I bumped into him in court a little while down the road. And I said, hey, did I see you driving a different one? And he goes, yeah. He goes, they traded me out. I go, the manufacturer did? And he goes, yeah. I go, did you sue him? And he goes, no. He goes, I actually threatened to sue them, and they traded me out. So he goes, they traded me out, you know, under the Lemon Law, and I got a new vehicle. I said, so let me ask you a question. I go, if I have a client who buys a product from your client, the big three auto manufacturer, if my client buys a product from your client and the radio cuts in and out, and it's been subject to three or four repair attempts, will you recommend your client buy it back? And he goes, no, why would I? I go, would you call that a classic case of buyer's remorse? And he goes, yeah, of course. So I guess the lesson here is, it depends on how you want to look at it. Either he was such a good attorney that he saw everything through the lens of his client, and he couldn't see anything outside of that lens. But when he owned a car not built by his client, he could think differently. Or he was just being kooky. But I think it's interesting to note that he would have said my client was suffering from a classic case of buyer's remorse for the same thing that he complained about to his manufacturer, and he got them to buy it back. The fascinating thing to me is that he got them to buy it back. And all I can think of is the fact that I'd love to see the letter he wrote them, because I'll bet you anything the letter not only said, here's your last chance repair, but I represent this big three auto manufacturer and have done so for the last 10 or 15 years, and I'm prepared to sue you guys till the cows come home, and we'll see what happens. And it could be that someone in their corporate office said, you know something, trade the guy into a new car, who cares? Or it could be that somebody in their litigation department said, well, you know, the guy litigates those cases, he must know what works in Michigan. And that's one of the problems that I've encountered before, is that all of the big three auto manufacturers, you know, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, have got their world headquarters in Detroit. And so they are very, very adept at knowing what the law is in Michigan, because that just happens to be where they're located. But all these other car companies, especially the foreign ones, have got offices in different places like New Jersey or Chicago or even in California. And so there might be somebody in New Jersey or Chicago or California who oversees litigation for the whole country. And so they might just have 20 cases on their desk and they go, okay, we got to get 15 of these to go away right now. And they might have looked at his and said, well, the problems aren't so severe, but he could be severe. So I don't know. But the point is, like I said, when it comes to my clients, engines exploding and transmissions falling out, classic case of buyer's remorse. But when the attorney's car has a sketchy issue with radio reception, that's a lemon, buy it back. So that's my story for today. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.